Welcome, everyone, to Ask the Pastor. I'm your host, Blake Gideon, Senior Pastor of Edmonds First Baptist Church. Once again, thank you for tuning in to Ask the Pastor. We continue to encourage you to encourage others to subscribe. Please share and like. We would greatly appreciate that here at Ask the Pastor. Also, just to remind you of my other podcast, I did this last week. I'll do it again this week. Engaging the Mind is also another podcast that I host as well. So if you haven't subscribed to that one, I would encourage you to do so. We tackle some really heavy issues in that podcast. Well, getting right to our questions for today, as typical, we have three questions. And the first question is this: can a person who hasn't heard the gospel believe in the God of creation with no knowledge of Jesus and be saved? Now, this is a common question that people have. Usually it sounds like this: what about people in some remote jungle somewhere who have never heard the gospel? They believe in God of creation, but they've never heard about Jesus. What happens to them when they die? Do they go to heaven or do they go to hell? Well, this is one of those issues that the Bible's clear on. And the answer to that question is found in Romans chapter 1. I've dealt with this question before, but I'll go ahead and deal with it again today. It seems to be a common question that people have. Romans chapter 1, starting there in verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Notice that the Bible says that mankind suppresses the truth. And he says, this is how they do it. "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." There's the answer. They are without excuse. "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their heart." So the Bible's pretty clear that since creation, God himself has made himself known to all of mankind. He's made himself known according to this passage through creation. In other words, mankind can look at creation and know that a creator exists. I've often said that there's enough evidence in the petal of a leaf or a petal of a flower to prove the existence of God. So when you look at creation, everything points to divine intelligence and points to an intelligent creator. But God goes on to say that he's also put it in man to know him. So God has revealed himself through his creation, and God has revealed himself to mankind through their conscience. And so man knows that there is a God who exists. But the person's question is this: can a person believe in the one true God, the Creator, but never hear about Jesus and still go to heaven? No. I mean, the Bible's pretty clear that there's only one way to God the Father, and that's through his Son. So what we see in the Bible is this, is that when a person truly seeks the one true God, God will send them a witness. For example, Lydia in Philippi, she didn't know about Jesus, but she worshiped the one true God. So God sent Paul and Silas to her to preach the gospel. Another example is the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian believed in the one true God, but he didn't know about Christ. So God sent him a witness in the person of Philip. Cornelius is another example, a worshiper of the one true God, but never heard about Jesus. Therefore, God sent Peter to witness to him the gospel. The point is this, is that any person on the planet who truly seeks to know the one true God, God is going to send them a witness, somebody who will tell them about Jesus Christ. Because there's only one way to God the Father. There's only one way to have your sin forgiven. And that's to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So if a person dies without trusting in Jesus, they die and go to hell because their sins are unforgiven. And this is clearly what's taught in the Word of God. That's why it's our responsibility to make sure that we get the gospel to the nations by supporting our missionaries and also going ourselves. The second question I have for today is this. What is the unholy trinity in the end times? Well, just to give you the basic answer, and matter of fact, I pulled up a sermon here on my laptop that I preached when I was going through the book of Revelation. And so let me just read to you from parts of that sermon as we talk about the unholy trinity in the book of Revelation. The first figure is the dragon in Revelation 12, 17. The Bible says that the dragon is Satan. He stood on the sand of the sea, verse 17. And then in Revelation 13, verses 1 through 18, Satan stands on the shore in order that he might beckon forth from the sea the beast with 10 horns and 7 heads and 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its head. So make no mistake about it, the dragon is Satan, and he is the first individual of the unholy trinity. And then he calls forth the beast. The beast is the second individual of the unholy trinity. Again, in Revelation 13, 1 through 8, it says that the beast comes up from the sea. Now, the beast, according to the book of Revelation, a lot of people say, well, the beast is the Antichrist, the end time Antichrist, a person who becomes possessed by Satan and so forth. But I personally believe that the beast is any Antichrist system, kingdom or government. That's the beast. So you have Satan, who is in control of these Antichrist governments and individuals and kingdoms and so forth. And so historically, these Antichrist governments have been Rome. They have been Greece, Babylon, the Medo-Persian Empire. And so these are Antichrist kingdoms and governments. Now we think about our government here in America. I mean, quickly, our government is becoming Antichrist. I don't negate the fact that Antichrist is a person, but I believe it's much more than that. Satan's dominance, it's the economic, it's the political, it's the unholy, any type of unholy military, any type of unholy social movement, any type of ungodly philosophical belief, any type of ungodly religious system. So whether it be political, economic, military, social, or philosophical, or religious, anything that opposes God is Antichrist, okay? And then ultimately, the third individual that makes up the unholy trinity would be the false prophet. And the false prophet is anyone who proclaims these anti-God systems. If somebody promotes an anti-God religion, they're a false prophet. If anybody promotes an anti-God philosophy, they're a false prophet. For example, right now in our day, we have many people who are promoting the ungodliness of Marxism. Marxism itself is the beast, and those who promote Marxism are false prophets. Another example would be Protestant liberalism. Protestant liberalism is the Antichrist, is an Antichrist, and those who promote it are false prophets. And so I don't want you to think about the Antichrist just being a person who arises at the end time. No, Antichrist can be liberalism, Marxism, can even be Roman Catholicism. It could be Pelagianism. It could be communism. The Enlightenment, all these things were part of Antichrist. And those who promote them are false prophets. Okay? So you think about ISIS. You think about the Taliban. These are anti-God systems or anti-God groups, and they are promoted by, so they are antichrist, and they are promoted by false prophets. You could even say, even in the Word of Faith movement today, people who claim to be Christians, but yet they promote a perverted gospel. They are antichrist. You know, people like Kenneth Copeland and others who promote this Word of Faith teaching. It's antichrist, and those who promote it are false prophets. Okay, so that is the unholy trinity in the end times, is Satan working through these ungodly systems and the false prophets who promote them. Okay, that's a little different than some people might interpret them, but that's definitely my interpretation. All right, so my last question is this: how does God distribute spiritual gifts? Well, I'll just answer that right from the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "And there are a variety of activities, but there is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Now, he's talking about spiritual gifts. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. So notice this, that the gifts are administrated by the Holy Spirit, okay, into the life of the believer. So at the moment of your conversion, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit indwells you, he blesses you with certain spiritual gifts. Notice the Bible says, "For to one is given through the Spirit." So the spiritual gifts come by way of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12, "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." So again, to answer your question, the gifts are the spiritual gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit, administered by the Holy Spirit for the common good of the body of Christ. Okay, so at the moment a person trusts in Jesus, at that moment they are indwelt by the Spirit, and at the same time they receive spiritual gifts that are to be used for the edification of the church and for the glory of God. So thank you for your questions today. Keep sending them. Until we meet again, serve the King.